Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike once again at May-21, 2011.com with a continued study in our series on Isaiah chapter 13. During this study, we're going to go through verses 11 through 13. Let me begin reading those three verses, and then we'll go into our study. Starting in verse 11, "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." In our last study, we learned that the nature of the day of Yahweh, which began on May 21, 2011, is that there is no longer any possibility of salvation for the billions of unsaved people in the world. They are all now guaranteed to die and thus become extinct for all eternity. But now, in this study, we will see how the loss of any possibility of salvation is a punishment on the unsaved of the world for their evil or iniquity. And we will see how this punishment causes the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and how it lays low the pride of the strong and mighty in the world. Then we will discover who the man that Yahweh makes more precious or rare than pure gold during the day of Yahweh. And finally, we will see what the shaking of the heavens and the quaking of the earth out of its place symbolizes during this day of Yahweh. May the Lord make his word speak to our hearts. Amen. Starting with verse number 11 in Isaiah 13, verse number 11. "I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." In the previous verse that we went over in our last study, we were taught, as I said before, that the nature of the day of Yahweh is that eternal salvation is no longer possible. Indeed, we were shown this in that the stars of heaven, the elect and Christ, the sun, Christ and the moon, the law of Yahweh, were no longer shining light, namely the gospel of salvation to the world. Now, in this study, in this verse, we are being told that it is by there no longer being any possibility of salvation, which we had learned has been the case ever since the day of judgment began on May 21, 2011, that Yahweh is now punishing, as our verse states, the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. More literally, our verse reads like this: "And I visit," or appoint, "on the world their evil, and on the wicked their iniquity," or depravity. Once again, "and I visit," or appoint, "on the world their evil, and on the wicked their iniquity," or depravity. But that sounds strange. How can Yahweh visit or appoint on the world their evil and on the wicked their iniquity or depravity? In other words, what our verse is saying is that Yahweh recompenses the world of the wicked, which is all the unsaved people in the world, their own evil and their own iniquity. And this is simply a way of saying that Yahweh appoints on the world of the wicked just what their evil and iniquity deserves. And what does their evil and iniquity deserve? Why, it deserves death. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And so, with the coming of the day of Yahweh, the entire world of the unsaved have been guaranteed to die. There is no longer any hope for salvation, but they had already spiritually died in Adam, and they are all now guaranteed to physically die as well, including all the babies, children, and adults on the soon-to-come last day of the day of Yahweh, when all who are in the graves and unsaved, and all who remain and are unsaved, will be brought forth, only to be burned up in the eternal flames of annihilation forever. This is their own evil and their own iniquity visited or appointed upon them. Now our verse continues, "And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Let's first consider the sentence, "And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease," and ask the question, how did the removal of salvation on May 21, 2011 cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease? Well, because the proud are now all guaranteed to remain spiritually dead, because there is no possibility for any of their salvations, it means they are all now guaranteed to physically die as well on the soon-to-come last day. So, May 21, 2011 marked the date when, in principle, the arrogancy of the proud met its end. By the way, who are all the proud in the world? They are one and the same as all the unsaved in the world. These are all proud because they're not willing to submit to all the teachings of the Holy Bible. They may be willing to submit to some of the teachings in the Bible, but they are not willing to submit to them all, and the reason for this is because they are proud. We read in Psalm 119, verse 21, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments." And again we read in Psalm 119:85, "The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law." So, we see that the proud are those which do err from Yahweh's commandments, and which are not after Yahweh's law. And also Malachi speaks of the proud during the day of Yahweh. He says in Malachi 4, verse 1, "Behold, for behold, the day cometh," that is the day of Yahweh, "that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Without going into details in this study, to be left without neither root nor branch means that the proud will be left without Christ. That is, they will be left without salvation during the day of judgment, during the day of Yahweh, which is exactly what we already learned in our last study with respect to the day of Yahweh in Isaiah 13, verse 10. Finally, our verse finishes by saying, "And I, Yahweh, will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Another translation of the verb lay low is abase. And the word translated as haughtiness is simply the word pride. So our verse can be translated, And I will lay low or abase the haughtiness, that is the pride, of the terrible. But who are the terrible? Well, they are the terrifying ones, the strong or mighty, so that our verse can be translated, and I will lay low or abase the haughtiness, that is the pride of the terrible, that is the terrifying ones, the strong or the mighty of the world. But how can it be said that the pride of the strong or mighty was abased or laid low on the day of Yahweh? We know the answer to this. The pride of the strong or mighty has been abased or laid low ever since the day of Yahweh began on May 21, 2011, because all the unsaved people who can be considered strong or mighty in the world are now guaranteed to die with no possibility of eternal salvation. They are all now imprisoned on death row, so to speak, by their sin, and are awaiting their soon-to-come annihilation in the fires of hell on the last day of the day of Yahweh. Yes, by the end of the day of Yahweh, all the unsaved, strong or mighty, or terrifying ones, will have become destroyed. And because their destruction has all been guaranteed ever since May 21, 2011, it can be said that the destruction of the mighty or strong of the world has already taken place. For God calleth those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. In other words, because the death of all the strong or mighty of the world is now so guaranteed before Yahweh, Yahweh sees it as if it has already taken place, which is how we can now say that all the unsaved in the world, ever since May 21, 2011, can already be considered dead, which means that the pride of the terrible, namely the pride of the mighty or strong, has now been already abased or laid low in that sense. Moving on to verse number 12 of Isaiah chapter 13. Verse number 12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Here we first read, I will make a man more precious than fine gold. The word translated as a man in the sentence, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, can be translated as humankind. And the word translated as fine gold simply means pure gold. Also, the verb translated as I will make precious can be translated as I will make rare. Because for metals to be precious, they normally must also be rare. The more precious the metal becomes, the rarer it becomes. So, the first sentence of our verse can read like this. I will make humankind more rare than pure gold. Then the second sentence of our verse, even a man the golden wedge of Ophir, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir, once again, the word translated as a man in the sentence, even a man, then the golden wedge of Ophir, can be translated as humankind. And the term golden wedge does not exist in the Hebrew of this sentence, but simply pure gold. Therefore, our entire verse now reads, I will make humankind more rare than pure gold. Even humankind than the pure gold of Ophir. Now, the question becomes, how did humankind become more rare than pure gold, even than the pure gold of Ophir, during the day of Yahweh, which began on May 21, 2011? Well, the reason why humankind has now become so rare in the day of judgment is because all the billions of unsaved people in the world have, in principle, already been destroyed. Because ever since May 21, 2011, there has no longer been any possibility of eternal salvation. And they are all already spiritually dead in Adam. Therefore, all the billions of unsaved people are now guaranteed to physically die and become extinct. And, as a result, Scripture looks upon them as though they are already dead, because God calleth those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. As it is so certain that they will all die on the last day of the day of Yahweh. So in the day of Yahweh, which we are now in, all the billions of unsaved people in the world are considered dead already by God. And that only leaves the remnant of the elect still alive in this day of Yahweh, in the eyes of God. Indeed, humankind has become extremely rare and precious in the elect. And we can say that few of humankind remain. That is, the elect. Which is how Isaiah also speaks of it in the day of Yahweh in Isaiah chapter 24, verses 3 through 6. Listen to what he says about the day of Yahweh's wrath, starting in verse 3 and going through verse 6. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The earth languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. So in saying that few men are left during the day of Yahweh, Yahweh is basically saying the same thing as he says in our verse of Isaiah 13:12, which reads once again, I will make humankind more rare than pure gold, even humankind than the pure gold of Ophir. That is, Yahweh has made humankind so rare that he considers almost all of them already dead. And there are few men left. And these few men, of course, are the elect. Now, there is another way that we can look at our verse of Isaiah 13, verse 12, because it can be legitimately translated like this. I will make a man more rare than pure gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir. Seeing things spiritually, the man here, which is made more rare than pure gold, even than the pure gold of Ophir, is Christ. He has been made extremely rare in the day of Yahweh, because as we learned back in verse 10 of Isaiah 13, he is no longer shining forth the light of salvation to anyone who is unsaved. Therefore, insofar as the unsaved of the world are concerned, Christ is so rare that he cannot even be found. And in the light of Isaiah 13:10, which we already looked at in our last study, our verse here is letting us know once again that salvation has ended as of May 21, 2011, for Christ is so rare to the unsaved that he cannot even be found. He is shining no light forth any longer. But nevertheless, although Christ is so rare, insofar as the unsaved are concerned, he is still present in the world, not to save unsaved, not to save the unsaved, but to work in and through the elect as his weapons to proclaim judgment against the world. Yet, even in this respect, Christ is still rare, because the elect in whom he dwells are so rare. So, no matter how you look at it, Christ is extremely rare and therefore precious in this day of Yahweh. Now, we have seen that the spiritual meaning of the noun a man in our verse is Christ. It is he who is rarer or more precious than pure gold during Judgment Day. But if the noun a man is referring to Christ, it can also refer to an elect man who is in Christ, because any given elect man is certainly extremely rare, as well as in this day of Yahweh's wrath. More rare than pure gold, even the pure gold of Ophir. But if Christ or an elect person can be what the noun a man represents in our verse, what does pure gold represent? What does pure gold represent in our verse? When we search the scriptures, we find that the law of Yahweh is comparable to pure or fine gold. We read it in Psalm 19, verse 9 through 10. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, that is the law, of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, that is pure gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And again we read in Psalm 119:72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And in Psalm 119, verse 127, we read, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine, that is pure gold. But the elect themselves are also comparable to gold, or fine, or pure gold. We read in Lamentations, for example, chapter 4, verse 2, the precious sons of Zion, of course that's referring to the elect, the precious sons of Zion comparable to fine gold or pure gold. How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? And in Malachi 3, verse 3, we read, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. The sons of Levi, we should know by now, typify the elect. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And again we read in Job 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I, that is Job, an elect man, shall come forth as gold. And we see that the elect being compared to as gold in other verses as well. For instance, most of us are familiar with Zechariah 13, verse 9, where the third part, which symbolizes the elect, are tried as gold. It reads, and I will bring the third part, that is the elect, through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Yahweh is my God. And we are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, where gold, silver, and precious stones are representative of the elect who are built upon the one foundation, Jesus Christ. It reads, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, that's the elect, wood, hay, stubble, that's the non-elect, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, that is the day of Yahweh, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, my point in all this, in reading all these verses, is that pure gold, or simply gold, in the Bible, can symbolize the law of Yahweh, or the elect themselves. So, when our verse says, I will make a man, that is Christ, more rare than pure gold, even a man, that is Christ, than the pure gold of Ophir, it is saying to us that during the day of Yahweh, which we are now in, Yahweh will make Christ more rare than his law, or more rare than the elect. And we must ask the question, is Christ more rare today than his law? And is Christ more rare than his elect? Certainly, we can answer the first question with a yes, for Christ is more rare or precious than his law, because there are Bibles everywhere in the world like at no other time in history. But insofar as Christ in salvation, he is no more to be found by the world. And so he is obviously more rare than his law. Furthermore, insofar as our second question, is Christ more rare than his elect, I suppose we could also agree with this, since Christ himself certainly is more rare or precious than the elect, since the elect are many, while Christ is but one. But when we say of the man in our verse, I will make a man more rare than pure gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir, simply refers to an elect person, does our verse also make sense when we say that an elect person is more rare than the law of Yahweh? Or when we say that the elect person is more rare than the elect? Well, yes, on both questions, for one elect person is certainly more rare in this world than is the law of Yahweh, as Bibles are everywhere. And one elect person is certainly more rare than the elect, as the elect are many, they are a group, while an elect person is but one. Therefore, returning to our verse, I will make a man more rare than pure gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir. We have confirmation that the noun a man can spiritually refer to either Christ or an elect person. Yet, because an elect man or person can simply be referring to Christ, since Christ is an elect man, the best interpretation, I think, is to see Christ as being the man more rare than pure gold, even the man who is more rare than the pure gold of Ophir. Moving on to our last verse in this study, verse 13 of Isaiah 13. Verse 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove or quake out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Here we are told that on the day of Yahweh, Yahweh will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove or quake out of her place. So we must ask the question, did the heavens shake and the earth quake out of her place on May 21, 2011? Absolutely. But not literally, but figuratively or spiritually. The idea of the heavens shaking and the earth quaking out of its place on the day of Yahweh is symbolic language revealing not a physical shaking and quaking, but an expression of the anger and wrath of Yahweh. We see this type of language in various places of the Bible. For instance, we read about the day of Yahweh in Isaiah 24, where we read in verses 17 through 19, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. And again, we read of the day of the Lord in Joel 2, where we read in verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And in Joel 3, we read in verse 15 through 16, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. We know that that symbolism of salvation having come to an end on May 21, 2011. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, we read, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of his children of Israel. In addition, we read in Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17, of this shaking of the earth, and the mountains being moved out of their places. Same kind of type of language. Starting in verse 12 in Revelation 6, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth as hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. See, the heavens moving out of their place. The heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So with respect to the day of Yahweh, we see this language of the heavens and the earth shaking or being moved out of their place repeatedly. And the reason we see this language in the day of Yahweh is because it is all symbolic of Yahweh's anger and wrath. For instance, we read in 2 Samuel 22:8, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth or angry. And we read in Psalm 18, verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth or angry. And we read in Nahum 1, verse 5, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation or wrath, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. We see then that the shaking of the heavens and the quaking of the earth is merely symbolism to express the anger and wrath of Yahweh. And therefore we read in our verse that Yahweh will shake the heavens and the earth shall be removed out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. It is because the wrath of Yahweh and his fierce anger is what is being symbolized by the shaking of the earth and the quaking of the earth out of its place. So our verse itself tells us what is being represented by the symbolism of the heavens shaking and the earth quaking out of its place. It is the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. The word here translated as Lord is the four continents, capitals YHWH, which we will pronounce as Yahweh, even though it may be pronounced somewhat differently, because nobody knows for sure what the two vowels in the word Yahweh are, as the original Hebrew only revealed the four capital consonants, YHWH, without the vowels. Well, concluding this study in Isaiah 13, in the day of Yahweh, which began on May 21, 2011, Yahweh is punishing all the billions of unsaved people in the world for their sins by now having removed any possibility of their salvation. This guarantees that they will all remain spiritually dead in Adam, and that they will all perish for all eternity on the last day of the day of Yahweh, soon to come when this world is destroyed in fire. So we can see how the arrogancy of the proud will cease, and how the pride of the terrible, that is the strong or mighty, will be laid low. And since it is now so certain that the arrogancy of the proud will cease, and that the pride of the strong or mighty will be laid low, Yahweh already considers it to have taken place ever since May 21, 2011. Why? For God calls those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. That is, ever since the day of Yahweh began on May 21, 2011, the arrogancy of the proud has ceased, and the pride of the terrible, the strong or mighty, has been laid low in the eyes of Yahweh, even though we will not literally see their arrogancy, that their arrogancy has ceased and that their pride has been laid low until the last day when they will all be destroyed by fire. Next, we found that the noun a man in the verse, I will make a man more rare than pure gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir, on the first hand, refers to humankind. They have been made more rare than pure gold, even than pure gold of Ophir, in the day of Yahweh, because the only humans who are now, spiritually speaking, still alive, are the remnant of humankind, namely the elect. For the rest of humankind are spiritually dead in Adam, and they are all now so guaranteed to physically die on the last day of the day of Yahweh that Yahweh already considers them dead. On the second hand, the noun a man in the verse, I will make a man more rare than pure gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir, refers to Christ. He has been made more rare or precious than pure gold in the day of Yahweh because he cannot be found anywhere for salvation. Therefore, he is extremely rare or precious. He is not only more rare than his law symbolized by pure gold, but also more than the elect also symbolized by pure gold. Finally, we found that the shakings of the heavens and the quaking of the earth out of its place on the day of Yahweh is symbolic terminology of the wrath and anger of Yahweh. It is not to be taken literally, but to be taken spiritually. When Yahweh uses such terminology as he shakes the heavens or earth or moves them out of their place, it is simply a word picture to express that Yahweh is fiercely angry. Yes, during the day of Yahweh that we are now in, it is as if the heavens are shaking and the earth is quaking out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.